Years of time have come and gone since I first heard it told how Jesus would come again someday. If back then it seemed so real, then I just can't help but feel how much closer his coming is today. Upon the eastern sky, lift up your head, redemption groweth nigh.
Well, good morning, radio friends, and welcome to this another edition of the Redemption Time broadcast. Brother Larry Knowles is the speaker. I appreciate everybody tuning in, and I trust that today's broadcast will be a blessing and a help to you. Well, I am a member of the Maryville Baptist Tabernacle located on Mount Tabor Road in Maryville. Brother Rick Smeltzer is our pastor, and we begin our Sunday school on Sunday mornings at 9:45. Our morning worship at 10:45, and our Sunday evening at 6, then on Wednesday night at 7. We invite you to come and be in any of these that you can. Trust the Lord would bless you for doing that. Then on September 15th, which is 2 weeks from Labor Day weekend, we will be beginning our Foothills Baptist Camp Meeting. That will run from the 15th through the 20th. Now, on the 15th, that'll be the Sunday we kick it off. It'll only be a morning service at 11 a.m., followed by lunch there in the fellowship hall at the church. All are welcome. Then, beginning Monday night, the 16th, we'll kick off with Brother Richard Kleiner and Mike Goodson be preaching. On the 17th, it will be Chad Udy and Leonard Fletcher. On the 18th, Leonard Fletcher and one that will be named later. On the 19th, Ricky Gravely and Leonard Fletcher. On the 20th, Chris Smeltzer and Gary Crisp. So, we do have a great lineup of preachers and singers. The singing will be done by the Rogers family, the Watson brothers, A.G. family, Heavenly Heirs, and then the Joy Heirs as they make their final appearance at the Tabernacle before they retire. Well, I want to invite you to come and be in any of these services that you can. We set the big tent up there at 1585 Mount Tabor Road, and we just have a good time in the Lord. We listen to the good singing with preaching. We rejoice a little, pray a little, whatever the Lord sends our way, and He always blesses. We appreciate everybody that wants to come and be part of that. The fact that somebody wants to be around God's people these days is a real blessing. And we invite you to come and share that with us. Now I'm going to play you a song that has a little bit to do with what I'm doing on the broadcast today, which is going to be a little different. But I think this is what God's led me to do. And so I trust that you'll stay with me and well, go through this with me.
Ahead, I can see the darkened clouds. There's no way around it. There is no way out. There was danger all around me. Surely I would drown till the force of His presence made the waves to lay down. He walked down on the water, facing the wind. How it roared and it thundered till He raised His hand. And then the waves that suddenly calm when He stepped between me and the storm. The Master said not a word as He stepped out on the sea, but my heart was hearing clearly what He spoke to me. Be not afraid, it is I. I won't leave you alone with my eyes fixed on the Savior. I can no longer see the storm. He walked down on the water, facing the wind. How it roared and it thundered till He raised His hand. And then the waves that were raging were suddenly calm when He stepped between me and the storm.
Well, that was the Joy Air singing Between Me and the Storm. I believe as I get into today's message, you're going to see why I played that. Because we're going to talk about the storm that has already begun, that is going to culminate in, it's actually going to culminate in the Lord coming back and getting His church. But I got a feeling we're going to ride some rough waters between now and then. And the waves are already being made to lead to that. I'll cover that with you today. And if you're a child of God, I think you want to know what I've got to say, some things I have observed, some things the Lord's laid on my heart that I would like to share with you as a listening audience, and trust that it will be a help to you. Now let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll get into that. Our Father, we thank You for the day and for the opportunity to be here. And we do thank You, Lord, that even as the storm clouds gather, we have confidence that You are still in charge, that You're still in control, and that, Lord, all of this is according to Your plan, and it'll work out according to the way You have said. and we know, Lord, that in the end we win. Lord, I pray today for the people who might be listening that don't know you and don't know about this plan and don't care about what you're doing. Lord, I pray that you'll somehow speak to that heart and open their eyes and give them mercy in these last days that we live in. I pray for the sick today. I pray for those, Lord, that feel unwanted, unloved, forgotten, forsaken. Lord, I pray that you'll help them and just be closer than a brother to them. Lord, those in the assisted living and nursing homes, in the hospitals, Lord, and different places where they need you, Lord, so much. And Lord, in the heart of lost people, they really need you. And I pray today, if one's listening, that you'll impress upon them the importance of coming to the Lord Jesus before it's too late. Lord, I pray for that one that's nearest hell today, that you would save them, bring them to a place of understanding their need and repentance, Lord. Save some soul today, and all that you do, we'll thank you and praise you. Lord, give us grace to go through this and anoint us with the right things to say, and give us strength, Lord, to boldness to preach the word as you've given it to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as I mentioned, talking about a storm that's already brewing, I just want to share some things from the heart today that have been upon my heart and my mind for some time. And it finally, this past week, came to a head, and I could no longer ignore this thing that I've been noticing and to address it as best I can. And I trust today that if you're a child of God, that you'll pay attention to what I'm going to say to you. I realize lost people are not going to care anything about this message. Maybe they think there's nothing in it for them, but I assure you that whatever befalls us to begin with will actually come to them also sooner or later. But the thing that got me on this subject is this. For some time now, every time at work I opened up my computer onto the homepage, which is MSNBC, which seems to be the worst of all of them, but they're all the liberal media is doing the same thing. And it's just a sign of the times and of the animosity and the hatred that's being sent out against God and Christians. Every day I see a different caption on these home pages. 15 reasons people are abandoning the church. 15 reasons that religion is no longer irrelevant in our lives. 15 reasons why churches are closing. 20 reasons why people are leaving the faith. And I see this smeared all over everything. What this is a media blitz of an attack upon God's people, God's word, God's work, and the freedom of religion that we now have that will soon be in jeopardy if God doesn't intervene. And I want to just mention a few of these things. I looked at one this past week. And I forget the number. I'll be going through it. We'll know at the end how many I'm covering. But I think it was like 20 reasons why faith is dead or religion is dead and people no longer need it. Well, they say that religion is dead and no longer relative. Can I just submit to you today that religion without salvation was dead when it began? It's always been dead, and it is still dead today. You know why it's dead? Because it has no life in it, and it cannot offer life to anyone who simply comes to religion as a way to scratch that itch and to satisfy that need that we all have to somehow get in touch with God and All this religion does, in most cases, without salvation, it does nothing but deceive people. But what it does is it eases the conscience if we can do something that appears to be for God. It's always been dead because it has no strength to help. Let me tell you some things about religion. Religion is not necessarily truth. Because the Islamics say to kill your enemies. That is done in the name of religion. But that is religion and not faith. It was religion that inspired and carried out the attack on 9/11 against our towers, and thousands of people died that day, and literally scores and hundreds more of our soldiers have died there in Iraq, Afghanistan. Thousands more came back without limbs, without their mind, lives destroyed, bodies mangled. That was all done in the name of religion, but it was not truth. Over in Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 31, there's some people called the Molochs. And in the name of religion, they burned their daughters and sons in the fire as a sacrifice to their God to please Him. That's religion, but it's not truth. Religion believes that one sinful mortal man can confess his sins to another sinful mortal man and be forgiven. That's religion, but it's not truth. I have no ability to forgive anybody. And friend, no doubt in my mind, there are a lot of people listening to me that are much better Christians, much better men than me, but I got news for you. You can't forgive me for anything except if I wrong you and we get our differences worked out, then you can forgive me for that one thing, but that's between you and me, and it has absolutely nothing to do with the eternal destiny of my soul or yours. So, religion is what's driving this. And a hatred of salvation and the doctrines that this Bible teaches that the Lord Jesus Christ Himself brought down to us in many cases. So I want to examine some of these. And I recently read this article. I took time. Most of the time I just ignore them, but I thought, I've turned my deaf ear to this as long as I can stand it. I have got to refute this some way. Now, first of all, I do not do social media. I don't do Facebook. I don't do Snapchat. I don't do any of those things. Number one, I don't have time. Number two, I have no reason to believe anybody cares how many times I took my dog out today. And things like that. Now, granted, there are some good uses for some things. I know some wonderful preachers have websites and YouTubes, and they do a wonderful job with it. And once I finish my volunteer stint back at work, I very well might come to the point I'll have time to do that. But just for the sake of getting on social media, no. But you know what these people can do? They can hide behind that article and put it on the media out there, and it goes out to where a society that only knows what they've been told can read it and be deceived by it. And they hide behind that. Now, you might say, okay, you're refuting this on a radio station, and you're hiding behind that. Trust me. At the end of this broadcast, I will give you my phone number. You can call me. You can text me. And I can even give you my email if you would like. Because I'm not hiding behind what I'm saying. I stand behind what I say. And I'm not hiding like this is. But the one I saw was said recently read one that was headlined, 20 Reasons People Are Abandoning Faith. Well, can I say that people are not abandoning faith? If you have real, honest to goodness faith, you're not going to abandon that. Now, I say that with tongue in cheek because you can't actually abandon the faith that you have. Now, you might abandon the lifestyle that faith would give you, and you may become embroiled and entangled in the things of this world, but the faith that you've got has already saved you, and you're going to be saved. However, if you walk away in this day that we're living in, you're going to have to pay the cost of that at the judgment seat of Christ. So I just want to look at some of these reasons that they gave that they say people are abandoning faith. Now then, I'm going to tell you that before I begin this, that everything they've said can be explained or refuted by the Word of God, and that's what I intend to do. I also know, and I will probably repeat this several times through the series, and I thought this, when I jumped on this, I thought it'd be a one and done. I'd just whisk through these things on one broadcast and be done, but as I dig into this, I find I can't do that. God won't let me just do that. I just keep, the more I look and the more I learn, the more I have to continue to get in depth in this. But that's what happens to me most of the time. I think I'll do a quick message on something. I get into it, and I get so engrossed in it, and I get so deep into it that I just have to keep going. So I want to start today with the first one that was first on the list. This is the first and foremost reason people are abandoning religion today, is because there are so many hypocrites. Well, I guess I'll have to concede part of that one to them. Not everybody that says they're a Christian has been saved. Some of them merely have religion, not based on truth. And if you ask someone if they're a Christian, most people say yes. Simply means I'm not an atheist, or I'm not something else. But the word Christian, broken down, means Christ-like. Now, I don't think many people understand that that's the question that's being asked, is, are you Christ-like? Well, I can tell you this. If you ask me if I've been saved, I will tell you unequivocally, without hesitation, yes, I have been saved. If you ask me, am I a Christian, I'd say you need to talk to the people who know me and see what they say about that. Because if I'm Christ-like, they'll know it. And if I'm not Christ-like, they'll know it. So they may not classify me as a Christian, depending on my actions and your actions. But that's not the point. The point is, not every mechanic can fix a car. Not everybody that says they can fix a car can fix a car. Not everybody that says they're a carpenter can build a house. You see, talk is cheap, but walking the walk, that's where the proof comes in. Don't tell me you're a Christian and Christ-like if you're going to live like the devil. If you're going to go to his places, if you're going to run with his crowd, and if you're going to do the things that the world does, and do all the things that God has made it very plain in his word that he's against. Don't try to tell me that you're a Christian. Now, I know, as I refute these by the word of God, unless a person believes and can be convinced that our Bible, the 1611 King James Version, is the purest form of the Word of God that we have today, hasn't been tampered with, hasn't been doctored, hasn't had critical parts taken out, but unless a person will accept that as the Word of God, probably they're not going to pay too much attention to my explanations. But you see, it doesn't matter what people think about the Word of God. It's still the Word of God. It's not going to change because it was made and written by a God that doesn't change. He won't change his mind. He won't go and change all the rules on us like some of the people today do. So talk is cheap, but walking is the proof. I find it amazing that people ignore the fact so much. People that use this as an excuse, they kind of pick and choose what part of the Bible they want to believe. But if you go back in the Gospels 17 times, Jesus himself referred to the Jewish religious leaders as hypocrites. But mostly, the people today who are saying, I'm not going down to the church because all of the folks down there are hypocrites, it's just an excuse that they are making to distance themselves from the gospel and from the possibility of having to face the reality that they need a work of grace in their life. But first of all, Christians, if you are a Christian, you really need to walk that walk to match your talk, because if you don't, you'll be one of them that's adding fuel to this fire that the world out there looks and says, he's a hypocrite. And let me tell you this, even if you walk the walk, live for God, do the best you can, and follow the leadership of God, follow the Word of God, and there's still some people going to look at you and talk about you because they don't want to admit that this is right. But mostly it's just another lame excuse to stay away from God's house. And then, let me say this, and I see this is as far as I'll get today, that I seriously doubt, there's anybody in this world that every Christian they know is a hypocrite. Maybe they know one or two, or to that some extent, some. But I really seriously doubt that there's anybody who everybody they know that professes Christ is actually a hypocrite. So, friend, if this is your cop-out, I can tell you this. One of my old pastors, Brother Carl White, bless his heart, godly man, loved him dearly, passed on several years ago. People used to tell him, he'd go invite him to church. He'd say, I'm not coming down there with them hypocrites. And he'd always say, we got room for one more. You know what my response to that is? I'd rather go to church with them than to go to hell with them. If they really are hypocrites, and that's between them and God, it's not going to do me any good, not going to do you any good, if every one of them is a hypocrite and goes to hell, You and I have a responsibility for our own eternal destiny to make it right with God somewhere between the cradle and the grave. Now I'm down to my last minute. As I've gone through this, I realize this hasn't necessarily been an evangelistic message. And yet, I want to tell you that Jesus loves you and God loves you enough He sent His Son to die for you, which He did on the cross there at Calvary. Shed His innocent blood in your place that you might be saved. Was dead, buried, and on the third day He was resurrected to life eternal. Today He's alive and well in heaven, getting ready to come back for His church. Have the trumpet sound. If you don't get saved before that happens, you have no choice. Now my phone number is 865-776-5872. If you want to call me about this or text me, feel free to do so. May God bless you.